I think if I were to take a poll this morning, most of you would be willing to agree with the statement that God does amazing things. Is there anyone here that wants to openly disagree with that statement? Good, because that would have thrown my whole sermon way out of whack. But if we can agree upon that, I want us to look this morning as we hear and have heard the story of Naaman. Because God does amazing things, but God doesn't always do amazing things the way we expect. The story of Naaman tells us that God uses unexpected people. A servant girl, not from Naaman's own country, his own people, but a servant girl from Israel. A servant girl that was simply there to wait and to serve Naaman's family. Now, it would be easy at this point to move into assuring you that no matter how ill-equipped you feel, no matter how ungifted you feel, no matter how sinful you may think you are, or how unusable you may believe yourself to be, that God is able to use you to touch other people. We've all heard that sermon time and time again, probably throughout the times that we've sat in the pews and have listened to sermons. But have we ever switched it around? I haven't very often heard us be challenged to think about how God uses unexpected people to touch us, about how we are to open ourselves up to God working in our lives through people we never would have expected. Sometimes as we go through life, God brings people into our current situations, into our daily routines, sometimes brings us together for special events, and we run into someone that we never would have expected for God to use to make a difference in our lives. You might already be thinking of someone in your life for whom that's been true. Maybe it was that annoying coworker that somehow God spoke to you and helped you become transformed. I'm remembering one particular person. If I remember correctly, this was a long time ago. His name was Danny. And I was the chaplain for the Wesleyan Seminary Foundation in Asbury Theological Seminary, and part of my duties as chaplain was to once a month go to the veterans home that was there in Wilmore, Kentucky, and lead a worship service. Now, I like people to respond to my sermons sometimes, but when I want them to respond, when I'm ready for them to respond, sometimes I'll even invite a response. It's quite unnerving to be delivering a well-crafted, at least in my opinion, a well-crafted sermon, and to have someone all of a sudden blurt out something. It can kind of throw you off when you're preaching. But Danny was this man who had had a severe brain injury. I believe, if I remember, he had been in a car accident. And it didn't matter what I would say, but Danny would blurt out, "And then some." I could say, "God is great," and there, unexpectedly, well, it became expected, but Danny would say, "And then some." I could say, "I have had an amazing week," and he would shout out, "And then some." And then once I got over the annoyance of him constantly interrupting my sermons or my prayers or whatever it was that he was interrupting, this invalid, for lack of a better term, with the mental capabilities probably of a child, God used Danny and his interruptions to help me understand the extravagance of God, that nothing we can say fully can capture the depth and the breadth and the width of this God that we worship. Sometimes God doesn't just use us to touch others, but God touches us through unexpected people. Naaman also, although he went to Israel looking for healing, wasn't expecting to be told to go down and to take a bath in the Jordan River. One river is as good as the next, right? He could have stayed home and taken a bath in the rivers of Damascus. And yet he was told to go down to the Jordan River. It wasn't what he was expecting. It wasn't something he was familiar with. Maybe he even had to ask directions to get to the Jordan River. It wasn't the normal place he would have gone to take a bath or that he would have gone for a swim. It was something that was unfamiliar to him. And yet God often shows up in unexpected places. God often used unexpected places to do amazing things. In not too many weeks, we're going to be celebrating what happened in a barn in the small town of Bethlehem. God often comes to us in unexpected places, maybe driving in a car, maybe mowing the lawn, doing the dishes. We have those expected places where God shows up. I saw somebody shake their head no, that God never comes to them when doing the dishes. Just that's an impossible thing for them to imagine. Well, don't be surprised, because it could happen. But we expect God to show up in church. We expect God to show up in our Bible studies and our devotional times. We may even expect God to show up when we're taking a walk around a park or somewhere in creation. We may expect God to show up when we're surrounded by friends and by family. But I had the interesting experience of having God show up while taking a walk around the Eastview Mall. I will have to say, I never thought the Eastview Mall would be a place where God would reach down and do something. And yet, I was challenged to walk around Eastview Mall one day as a part of a study we were doing at a church I was pastoring, and to just be open to God's Spirit. As I walk, be open to who I should pray for, to be open to whatever it was God wanted to do in those moments. And amazingly, as I walked around, for the first time I remember really, truly being able to see God in the face of everyone I met. Not the little child. It's easy to see God in little kids' faces, sometimes even dirty faces with snot running out of the nose. It's easy to see God in a child's face. It's easy to see God in someone that has needs, someone in a wheelchair or walking with a cane. It's easy to look and to see Christ in a mother struggling with four or five children, trying to keep them herded together and to not break anything expensive as they walk through a store. But to be able to see God in the face of the affluent, in the face of a group of teens that was doing their best through the way they dressed and acted to rebel against all the norms of society, to be able to see God in just a normal, ordinary folk walking around a normal, ordinary mall, going about normal, ordinary things. I didn't expect God to reach down and touch me and to open my eyes in that way in the Eastview Mall. And for those of us that kind of have an aversion to the things on the east side, west siders kind of do that sometimes, don't they? Who would have thought that God would use a walk around the Eastview Mall to teach me something? So God does work in unexpected people and in unexpected places, but God also works in unexpected ways. I love the servant's girl response to Naaman when he said, "What do you mean, go down and dip myself seven times in the river?" And the servant girl said, what, do you remember? "If he had asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? Wouldn't you have done it if he had asked you to do something difficult?" Early in the passage, Naaman was upset because he thought the prophet Elijah was just going to come out and wave his hand over him and invoke the name of the Lord and heal him. He had expectations in his mind about how this healing was going to go, about how God was going to touch him. And yet God took those expectations and challenged him. One of the most unexpected ways I've ever known for God to come to somebody was in a friend of mine, Glenn. Glenn was in my class in high school. Glenn was a partier, a rebel, someone that you just, one of those like most likely to end up as nobody kind of people. Well, Allison and I moved into one of our first apartments after we were married, and next door was Glenn and his wife, Colleen. And as we got talking to him, we found out that he had started to go to church. And so one day I asked him to share. I said, "How did you end up going to church?" He says, "You'll never believe this story. Honest story." He goes, "I was smoking weed one day, and I was higher than a kite, and I looked over a saw Bible, picked it up, opened it up, read a story about Jesus, and became a Christian." Now, if God can use a doped up pothead, stoned, to reach in and touch him, there's nothing God can't use. The way God reaches out to us, sometimes we experience God through different worship experiences, through different songs, through different ways of praying. Sometimes we experience God through the same old, normal, boring, ordinary things that we've given up giving any chance of God ever using because they're so routine. God uses an endless array of ways to reach in and to touch people's lives. And finally, God came in unexpected circumstances. He didn't come through Naaman's victory. He didn't reach into Naaman's life. He didn't use Naaman's victory over Israel, but he used his illness. God often comes to us in the midst of difficult circumstances. Sometimes when things are going well, it's easy for us to say, wow, God is really blessing me. I know I often hear when I talk to pastors and people in other churches, how are things going? God's really blessing us. We've got new people coming. We've got this many kids in Sunday school. We're paying our bills. They list all of the wonderful things that are happening as evidence that God is present and working. But I remember one particular church that I was serving as a pastor, and some of the key leaders in that church had some questions about my leadership and about the things that were happening. And I remember the look on their faces when I said, what if we step back, and what if this isn't a mistake, me being here, but if God brought us together for a reason? Now, most of them wanted nothing to do with hearing that, because we don't like God using uncomfortable things in our lives. We don't like God using things that bother us, that are struggles, that are annoying. But I know of one woman in particular. Her name was Judy. Now, often when we talk to people who have a terminal illness, we might hear things like, well, my faith is getting me through. We might hear things like, I'm trusting in God. We might hear other things like, I know that somehow God is working through all of this. Sometimes even people might say everything happens for a reason, which I don't happen to believe, but that's a whole other sermon. But Judy shocked me one day when I was talking to her, because I asked how things were going, and she said, you're never going to believe this, but I am closer to God now than I ever, ever was when I was healthy. That God is using his cancer, not just out of faith, out of need, but God is working in my life in ways God never could have worked if I hadn't been terminally ill. That somehow God came into that moment and transformed Judy's life, transformed Judy's faith. Not just helped her to hang on, not just helped her to get through, but to radically transform her relationship with God. God seems to like using unexpected people and unexpected places and unexpected means and unexpected circumstances. God is basically a God of the unexpected. Pretend you've never heard the stories in Scripture before and read through them again, pretending you don't know how they turn out, and see how many times you are surprised by what God does. Maybe times and places and things have gone through your mind as I've preached this morning, those unexpected moments and places and people. But maybe more important than thinking back to all the unexpected things God has done in our life in the past, maybe the more important thing for us this morning is to ask ourselves, how open are we to God working through the unexpected in the future? To God coming to you in new ways, through new people, through new places. How open are we to getting out of our comfort zone and letting God lead us on an amazing adventure that we might not even be able to imagine yet? How open are we to come not only to admit that God does things in unexpected ways, but to long for God to do things in unexpected ways? We all agreed at the beginning of this sermon that God does amazing things. He just doesn't always do them in ways we expect. And maybe that's a good thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.